Your continued interest in your prayers for myself and you as well, that as we continue our study of Psalm 119, that we might be blessed to get a better grasp of what we're being taught. In our overview of Psalm 119, we talked about how that every verse, really, of this psalm speaks of the Word of God. And we know that, we haven't covered Psalm 138 yet, but in 138, what is it, verse 2, I believe it is, he says that thou hast exalted thy word above all thy name. And so as we think about the word of God, this is such a long psalm. It is, in its original form, it was an acrostic, which we talked about how that each of the 22 sections, one section for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet, every verse of the 8 verses in each section began with that letter of the alphabet. So really took an effort, and I know that the Word of God is inspired, but putting something in that form probably took a long time. And it's thought that perhaps, there seems to be quite a consensus that it was David that wrote this, and certainly sounds like David to me. You know, if you read after an author for a long time, you get a feel for their writing, and certainly seems like David's writings. Many have speculated that perhaps he, throughout his lifetime, he kind of worked on this for a long time. Some verses seem to indicate maybe some of his experiences earlier in life and some when he was more seasoned in his years. But nonetheless, we've come to the second section of 8 verses in Psalm 119. And it's hard to give a title for these 8 verses because it's much like the Proverbs. It's just a collection of wisdom about the Word of God. Now, there does seem to be some consistency from time to time, and I have kind of summarized this as God's Word is the best safeguard we have against sin from young to old. Well, certainly God's Word is that, isn't it? And even in this section of 8 verses, we're going to see some of those verses that speak directly to that issue, but it begins in verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9, by saying, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? It's interesting that the verse itself speaks of wherewithal shall a young man. And we know that there are times in the Word of God where man is the generic word that that equally applies to men and women. And certainly, whether it's a young man or a young woman, both equally, there's a great need for all of God's people to know the Word of God and to apply it in our lives. But if you stop and think about, and really when you look at these 8 verses, there seems to be a particular emphasis, as it says, wherewithal shall a young man. I checked the original language, and it could apply to women, but it more strongly suggests that it is just as our English language says, a young man. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And so, as we've described in this verse, while this is for boys and girls to know and to do, it's particularly suited for young men, because God holds men responsible for the godly leadership of their family. All right, so as these young men are growing up, they need to know the Word of God. They need to know God's way. They need to be learning those things so that the time comes when they have a family of their own, they're able to lead their families, the spiritual leader in that home. We need that, don't we? That's God's order, all right? Sad to say in our day, though, there's a lot of men that aren't taking the lead there. They're not doing that. And I'm so thankful for godly women that will teach their children and that will be a good and godly influence in their home. But the Word of God places that responsibility on the man, the father, the husband. And so this psalm says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Oh, how wonderful that we can get off to a good start in life. All right? So the earlier children learn to walk responsibly in God's ways, the better beginning they have toward living a cleaner and more God-honoring life. How needful it is. You know, I read these verses and it's convicting to me. I don't feel like I've fulfilled that role like I should. But as we try to learn and grow and apply these verses to apply these scriptures to our lives, then we see not only here, but as I mentioned in the notes, Ecclesiastes 12. It also speaks of the Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Let me turn to that real quick. I'm not going to read it all, but quite often you might hear this passage used at funerals. Okay? And I just want to get a good part of the beginning of it. Remember now, this is Ecclesiastes 12, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And that's really all I want to read right now. He goes on to talk about many things, but what he's talking about is a life that has, for the most part, been spent. And there's a lot of regrets that this should have been done, or I should have done this better, or I should have put more time into these things or those things, and now my days are spent, so to speak, and I haven't been able to do what I should. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. God has blessed us with a love for Him. He's given us the promise that we can seek His face and seek His word and seek understanding from Him, and He's promised to reward us in that effort. And He's faithful to His promise, isn't He? God is always faithful to His promise. We don't always keep ours, but God always keeps His promise. And so the rest of this section of 8 verses, the rest of this lesson tonight, will provide excellent guidance to young and old, men and women, in living a good and clean life that daily honors the Lord. It's amazing as we go through Psalm 119 that every verse of all of the psalm speaks in some way of the Word of God. Verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. You know, that's the safest place to be, isn't it? Is in the Word of God, following the Word of God, walking that path of righteousness. That's the safest place to be. And the psalmist says here, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. As you can tell, I'm not sticking so closely to the notes. You can read the notes for yourself. All right? But let me not wander. Why would we wander from his commandments? Well, it's because this old flesh nature of ours, isn't it? See, we've talked about before, if you're not pressing into the kingdom, if you're not trying to advance, if you're not trying to resist the things of the world, you're losing ground. Because the world is always working against us. The flesh is always tugging at us to do what's pleasing to the flesh. And so the psalmist recognizes that. I know this is Old Testament, but still, God's people have always felt that. Whether they had the fullness of the gospel like we do it today, to know just exactly what was at work. We know that God's people, being born of the Spirit of God, they had the same warfare within them that we have tonight. And if you're not trying to face the battle and to serve the Lord, then the flesh is winning. If you're doing nothing, then the flesh is winning. And so he says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. That's the best way to be found keeping and found in the commandments of the Lord. Now, invariably, when you think about serving the Lord with the whole heart, there'll be some that will say, well, I've got plenty of responsibilities. Well, my response to that is, whatever we're doing, we're supposed to do it heartily as unto the Lord, so we can do it with a godly demeanor. If we've got the Word of God treasured up in our heart, if we've got the remembrance of it, if we understand the teaching of it, the spirit of it, then we could be following that in whatever circumstance we find ourselves, so that we wouldn't wander from God's commandments. Because following His commandments is the safest place to be spiritually. In the notes I have that as soon as we divide our devotion, what did Jesus say about trying to serve two masters? Does it work very well? He was stronger than that, didn't he? He said, you cannot do it. I like what one writer said one time, is you could just as easily walk in two directions at once as you could serve two masters at once. You're going to either do one or the other. You're going to serve one and hate the other, or so forth. So, divided devotion. Some would say, well, I need time for my family, or I need time for my job. Well, if we are serving the Lord as we should, if we're doing whatsoever we do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men, then when we're doing it that way, we can give better attention to our families. We can give better service to our employer when we're doing it in a godly way. And so wholehearted devotion to the Lord as we go through life, again, like the previous verse, it's the safest place to be, but it also puts us in the best position to love our families and to do a good job for our employers. Not only that, but it helps us when we have difficult situations with people either out in the public or on the job or whatever the case might be, we're in a better frame of mind to do that, to deal with it. Isn't God's way good? It's the best way. It's the safest way. It's the most blessed way that we have to walk here in this life. All right? And staying in that way will guard us against wandering from His commandments. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. If for no other reason. That one is wonderful. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now sometimes we hide things in places where we don't even remember where we put it. You know, that's just not a part of what we're talking about, is it? The psalmist is telling us here, if we're going to hide his word so that we would not sin against God, then that means we're going to put it in a place where we know where it is, a place where we're going to remember it. It's going to be that we understand what it says, And it's become a part of us. It's become a part of our character. It's become a part of our guiding principles that we follow each day. It's become a part of us, and it's in us, and it's guiding us to the extent that it's we're walking by its influence and not the influence of the flesh. Well, that's what we need, isn't it? To be walking in the Spirit. That's what the Word of God, if we understand what walking in the Spirit means, it means being under the influence or filled with the Spirit, is what Paul said in the book of Ephesians. Be filled with the Spirit, which means to be under the influence of the Spirit. Which means whatever the Word of God says, that's what we're wanting to do. And that's what we'll endeavor to do. So to hide His Word in our heart is first of all to read it, to understand it, to remember it, to apply it, so that others can see it being reflected in our life. It's kind of strange, isn't it? I mean, it seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? To hide something so that it can be seen. But in this sense, if you're hiding enough of the Word of God so that it's controlling your behavior, it's going to be seen. And that's what glorifies God. And that's when we're walking according to the commandments. That's when we're hitting the mark, so to speak. The reason I use that term, because if you know the literal definition of sin, is missing the mark. You know, the idea of an archer, you know, aiming that arrow and then releasing it and hitting the mark. But when we miss the mark, that's what sin is described as. So if we're pressed toward the prize of the high calling of God, okay? Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So we're treasuring it up. You might consider it to be in a safe place in our hearts. And it is that which will help us walk according to the commandments. It will keep us from straying and wandering from His commandments. It'll help us from forgetting His commandments. You ever forget some of the principles? That's why we need to keep reading the Word of God, isn't it? All right? It'll help us to do that which is pleasing and not sin against the Lord. If we're not hiding the Word of God in our heart, if we're not treasuring it up, we begin to lose the benefits of what we already have. You ever thought about that? If you are in the habit of reading the Word of God every day, and then for some reason you start leaving it off, then it's kind of like a leaking vessel. It just all starts leaving you. But as long as you got your nose in the book, so to speak, as long as we're reading this precious word, it all stays with us better. I've found that to be the case over and over again. That as long as we're reading the word, that whatever, I may not have read a book of the Bible for months, but as long as I'm keeping some portion of the Word of God fresh in my mind, it's all staying with me better. It's amazing, but it's true. And so we continue to emphasize the need to be reading the Bible personally every day. Verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. He first of all acknowledges how good and wonderful that God is. Blessed art thou, Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Do we need to be taught anything? Do we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, if you're reading the scriptures, you know that's scripture. That was Peter's admonition toward the end of 2 Peter. When he closes out that book, he says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Acts chapter 20. I don't think I put this in the notes, but in Acts chapter 20, when Paul met with the brethren at Ephesus, and it was a very touching scene because they fell on his neck and wept much because they knew that when Paul told them that they would not see his face anymore. But toward the end of that chapter, we find that Paul says, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." The word of God can build us up. "Teach me, O Lord," he says, "teach me thy statutes." Those things that are written down for our learning, teach me, Lord. Help me to understand. Help me to be able to apply it. Help me to be able to remember it. Teach me, O Lord. We need to be asking the Lord to be our teacher and to teach us his good and holy way. And that's by the Spirit's enlightening, that it will be written upon our heart. I put the reference to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I didn't put the verses in the notes, but I gave you the reference where Paul was talking about tables of stone, but in the fleshy tables of the heart. God's word needs to be written there. So as the Spirit helps us in our understanding, we have a better idea of what we need to be doing each day. And we'll get a little bit more into that thought in just a minute. Verse 13, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." As God revealed to Moses, as he gave his judgments, and as there were other things that God spoke to Moses about, and as Moses passed on these judgments to the people, David says here, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." He'd read them, he understood them, he's hid them in his heart. Now he wants to use his lips to share and speak of them often to others. Isn't it good to hear somebody speaking about the goodness of God? Isn't it good to hear somebody telling about how the Lord's blessed them? Isn't it good to hear how that God is faithful to us and he answers prayers? I tell you, that lifts my spirits. And to hear someone in public acknowledge God's blessings upon them and how that something they may have done was enabled by God himself. I tell you, it's a good thing to give glory to God, give him the credit for those good things in life. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. There's several of those 3:16s in the Bible that we really love, aren't there? Well, Malachi 3:16 says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." See what he said? A book of remembrance. In other words, the Lord took note of it. And the Lord is going to bless those folks for speaking often one to another of those good things of the Lord and thinking upon his name. Now that's another one of those promises that we find. Well, let me just get this thought in. No better way to use our lips. Can you think of a better way for us to use these lips? There's plenty of ways we do, but there's no better way than to speak of the goodness and mercy of our God. Oh, as we think of how the Lord has promised there when he mentions those that spoke often of his word And a book of remembrance was written for them. That's one of those promises where we see that those that spoke to one another and spoke often of the goodness and mercy of God to each other, God took note of it and he blessed it. It's kind of like that promise out of Hebrews 11:6, where he says, without faith it's impossible to please him, but he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, God has promised, if we're diligently seeking him, he has promised to reward us. Well, why wouldn't we seek him? Now, I'm not saying that, well, let's continue on here. He will reward us in that way which he knows is best. And what under consideration there is the context of seeking to know more about him, and he will bless us. Oftentimes people talk about they don't read the Bible because it's hard to read and all these excuses. But you have God's promise that if you will diligently seek him, he will reward you. Which to me means the more we try to read the Word of God, he will bless it to become easier for us. All right? We'll get accustomed to some of the wording. And so what we find, David had said, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. With my lips. We don't bring sacrifices like they did in the Old Testament. But the Bible clearly tells us that when we're praising God with our lips, those are sacrifices that he's well pleased with. Now, we'll notice in Psalm 69, very quickly here, Psalm 69, beginning in verse 30, Psalm 69, verse 30, this is a psalm of David. He says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. So even in the Old Testament, we're told that praising God from the heart with our lips is better than those animal sacrifices. And then you can come to Hebrews 13. Verse 15, Hebrews 13, verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise. That's a sacrifice. Okay? Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. We have sacrifices that we should be offering in this day and time. Bless your hearts, it's praise to God with our lips. And David says here, in this psalm, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Now think about what he's saying there. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. All right? And that's key there. The way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. There is a tremendous value in knowing and understanding the way of the Lord. We're talking about the principle that's involved in what he's teaching us. A lot of folks in recent years have talked about or used the expression, what would Jesus do? It's supposed to be a pattern of behavior as far as thinking about what Jesus would do and following that. Well, I like that. We should. That's the whole point of a disciple, is to be like his master. So if we understand what Jesus taught, if we understand how he responded to things, and if we pattern ourselves according to his behavior, that's what we're supposed to do. All right? Now, he says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. There's a great value. And that's what he's speaking about here in this verse. A great value to knowing the way of God, the ways of God, so that we can apply ourselves to act accordingly. When we can do that, we know something about the true riches of God. True riches in this life. So when we see that comparison that he's making here, understanding the way of God, he says he's rejoiced in that as much as in all riches. Well, now, David was a wealthy man. I mean, he was king over Israel, and he had much wealth. So that's saying something. You know, if we compared to our belongings, that wouldn't be saying a whole lot. But for David, the king, that's saying a lot. Now, what this verse is teaching is there's a parallel passage in the New Testament, and I put that in the notes. First of all, though, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here, aren't I? When we know this comparison, while money is not the answer to all needs, it does satisfy some, doesn't it? I mean, I'm afraid that there are some bills that have to be paid, and folks don't want your words. Okay? So when he speaks here, he says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Then he's making that comparison here between something that he rejoiced in the way of the testimonies of God, compared to some type of satisfaction that he received from his earthly belongings. And what I'm getting to here is it's an attitude. How do we value the ways of God? Is it more important to us, or are we valuing the things of this world to be more important to us? David said, he says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Now, let's notice a passage that Paul gave us when he was writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll begin in verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. I think this illustrates what we have here in verse 14 of our psalm. Verse 17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. And that uncertain riches, you may, if you have a reference Bible, you may see something that says the uncertainty of riches. In other words, we can't put our dependence upon worldly possessions. It's uncertain. Things can happen. Things can deplete those quickly. All right, so he says, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. What does that say? God is the one who gives us richly, not scantily, but richly all things to enjoy. God, that's God's blessings. You know, he even warned Israel not to get lifted up in pride and think that it was the power of their might that got them their wealth. But it was the Lord that gave them the power to get wealth. And so here he's saying not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, which one's better? Whatever we might try to accumulate in this world, or trusting God and following in the ways of righteousness and looking to him and trusting him to supply our needs? Not saying we're not supposed to make our way in this world. I'm just simply saying our trust, our attitude is to be trusting in God and not in the unrighteous mammon of this world. All right? So he says, trust but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, let's continue in this passage. He says in verse 18, 1 Timothy 6:18, that they do good. In other words, he's describing here the kind of behavior, if we're going to rejoice in the way of God's testimonies more, or he says, as much as in all riches. If we're going to value the testimony of God and try to follow that, here's what we need to do. He says in verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works. Don't you think that if we do good and are rich in good works, God's going to bless us? See, Isaiah chapter 1, he says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. All right? That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Now, I've got a reference here that says, as far as this willing to communicate, it says sociable. That doesn't mean a thing to me. But in searching out what this is saying here, these two words, when he says that they be ready to distribute and willing to communicate. That word distribute, that word communicate is almost the same meaning. All right? But Paul's not repeating himself, just unnecessarily. What you find to help differentiate these two is in the other words here, because that phrase, ready to distribute, that phrase in the English is really just one Greek word. So notice it says ready to distribute. Now, in your notes here, I put how that ready to distribute means that we need to be generous. A word that you'll oftentimes find in definition of that word is liberal. Well, in our culture today, liberal just kind of throws our mind in a different direction, doesn't it? But I'm talking about in the sense of being generous. God who giveth all men to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That's that word we're talking about. And not only just being generous, but readily generous. That's the way of God, all right? And willing to communicate. Okay, I put the word giving there about communicate. But he says willing to communicate. Willing to give. All right? So what you've got here is if we're to be doing good, rich in good works, ready to be generous and willing to be giving. You see, you have the kind of heart that's demonstrated by God's grace and how generous God is to us. Would you say that God is slow in his blessings? Would you say that God is hesitant to give us what we need? That doesn't fit him at all. God has blessed us with so much more than we deserve. He's blessed us so much more than we can even imagine. So think about the way of God And that's how we should be. And that's tremendously more, I mean infinitely more, than comparing to anything that worldly riches could satisfy. Now I put a verse, I didn't say anything about it, but Ecclesiastes 5:10. In this little section of notes, Ecclesiastes 5:10. Do you remember that verse? He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. What does that mean? Well, have you ever seen anybody that just seemed like it was never enough? The more they had seemed like the more they wanted. And the more they wanted. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied. In other words, it's not the silver that's going to satisfy. And the rest of that verse goes on to say, he that loveth abundance, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. And he that loveth abundance, we're not going to be satisfied with abundance. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing that part of it a little bit, but that's the meaning. In other words, it's not what's in the bank account that's the problem. It's the heart. It's the condition of the heart. Wanting more, wanting more, wanting more. That's the problem. But when we're looking to the Lord, when we're trying to be content with what we had, that doesn't mean we can't try to improve and better ourselves and work hard and be rewarded for it. But there's a way to go about it, isn't it? And there's a way of God that He teaches us in His Word. And that's what we're to strive to understand. And that's why David could say, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. God is our paymaster. God knows our heart. He can discern the very thoughts and intents of our heart while there's not even a word in our tongue, but lo, He knows it all together. Whatever we haven't even spoken yet, He knows it. And so it's the way of God that we're striving to learn in His Word so that we can follow in that way and do that which is pleasing in His sight. Paul goes on writing to Timothy in verse, after he says in verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. He says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Well, hasn't God given us eternal life? Yes. But not all of His people are laying hold of it in the sense of enjoying it and rejoicing in it in this life. We may have a knowledge of God, but many of God's people are just spending all their time and energy doing things in this world instead of seeking God and godliness, patterning their lives in such a way that God would abundantly bless them. That's the mark that we need to strive for. I'm not going to go through all the references that I have at the end of the notes for verse 14, but Luke chapter 12 speaks of the rich fool. He was the man that his fields brought forth plentifully. And he said, what shall I do? And how many people, do you remember the passage I'm going to talk about? How many people did he talk about he wanted to help with his abundance? Huh? None. Oh, there was one. There was one. Himself. He said, what shall I do? I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger barns. And I'll say, soul, take thine ease, for thou hast much goods laid up in store for many days. See who he was thinking about? And God said to him, "Thou fool." And then that passage goes on to say, "And so is everyone." Well, let me finish the passage. "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. And then whose shall these things be?" And the passage ends up by saying, "And so is everyone who is not rich toward God." So is everyone who doesn't value the ways and the word of God, like we're talking about tonight. Bless your hearts. We need to be like David and rejoice in the way of God's testimonies, God's ways, and try to follow as best we can. As other passages, you can look them up later. Verse 15, coming back to Psalm 119, verse 15. "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." If we're going to have respect to something, then it's going to be important to us, isn't it? Important enough that we're going to follow it if we're going to have respect unto it. So he says, "I'll meditate in thy precepts." You don't have to answer, but I would ask you to think, how much time do you spend meditating on something about God's Word? Most of God's people are doing good if they read a verse or two before they hurry off for their day. That's the ones that's doing good. Many of God's people never open the book. And we're missing tremendous blessings. I can't say it any other way. We're missing great blessings. Perhaps it's why Christianity is suffering the low ebb that it is. It's not God's fault. It's not because Christianity is inferior to Islam. Those folks are zealous, aren't they? Say what you want to. We can say they're wrong all you want to, but they're zealous. How about us? How about us? He says, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." In our prayers, we're talking to God. And we may spend a lot of time talking to God. Do you think he needs to be acquainted with anything? There is nothing that we can introduce to God. There's not a word in our tongue, but he knows it all together. Now, I'm not trying to discourage anyone from praying. Lord, we need more prayer. All right? But my point is, the longer I live, the more I understand about this. After we've spoken to God, we need to give some time to listening to God. And I've never heard his audible voice. He could do that if he wants to, can't he? He did it in such a way in Exodus 20 when he gave the Ten Commandments originally that the people said, "Moses, you talk to God. Don't let God speak to us anymore." That was such an awful sound. Have you ever been exposed to such noise that you just wanted to run away from it? There's every indication in the scriptures when you read it that they feared and trembled at the voice of God when he spoke his commandments. And he could do the same tonight, couldn't he? But I haven't heard that voice. I don't know if you have. I've got my doubts, but you know, if you have, then that's fine. I know God can do that. God has spoken to the ones that he's chosen to speak to. All right? But with his Spirit dwelling within us, and with us praying unto him, oftentimes he answers by putting a thought on our heart and in our mind, by giving us an impression. If we've asked him for patience and something of how to deal with something, oftentimes he'll give us some ideas about how to go about that. I mean, the Spirit leads us into all truth. But how much time are we giving listening to the leading of the Spirit? If we're going to meditate in his precepts, his Spirit, we need to take some time. That's going to require some time thinking about it and waiting for the Spirit to give us some understanding. You know, there used to be, well, there's still, drive around the countryside, you still see rocking chairs on the front porch. But I don't see too often see anybody in those rocking chairs. Looks nice, doesn't it? But they're not being used very much. Now, when I was growing up, that was a regular thing. Folks spent some time. And we've got so many labor-saving devices nowadays, it seems like we'd have more time to sit in those rocking chairs today than they did back then. And they worked hard back then, didn't they? I say they because I had it easy. But I know a lot of folks didn't. But you know, you can spend some time thinking, praying, you know, prayerful thoughts, meditation. Some of the richest thoughts I've had from the Scriptures has not come by just hours and hours of poring over the Word, as much as after I've read the Word, meditating upon what it says. Now, you're not going to meditate upon five chapters, but there may be a verse that weighs heavy on your heart. There may be a subject that is burning within you to know more about. And you read something about it, and the Spirit can begin to open it up. And the Spirit can begin to bless you. And think about this now. David, as a shepherd, sitting on the hillside watching over those sheep, he had a lot of time to meditate, didn't he? And the Lord blessed his meditation. And he tells us of the value of that meditation here. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Meditation allows the Spirit to speak to us. And it's much more important than whatever words we're trying to tell God, because he already knows it. Now, again, I'm not discouraging anyone from praying and unburdening your heart. That's our privilege, to pray unto God in that way. But I would encourage you, because what the Word of God says, allow some time for meditation. I know that's a lot to ask a lot of people today, to take more time out of their schedule, isn't it? Doesn't have to be a lot, but if you take a few moments at least to read some in the Word of God and then carry it with you, have it in your mind and think about it throughout your day, I believe you'll find the Lord will bless that. All right. Verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Well, we already talked about the benefit of hiding his word in our heart, so that we wouldn't sin against him. Well, what if we did forget it? It's not going to help us. It's not going to do us much good if we forget it, is it? All right? So, he said, I will delight myself in thy statutes. So let's compare that to ourselves. In what do we delight? Think about that for a second. What is it that really delights your soul? Whatever it is that we find delight in, we'll give our best in time, our energy, and our resources. And we'll be eager to talk about it and learn as much about it as we can. Isn't that true? Whatever we find delight in, we're interested. We want to know more about it. And we'll give our time, our energy, and resources. I'm repeating this for a reason. How much time and energy and priority are we giving to the Word of God? Is it not valuable? Oh, yes, it is. But see, we have to answer that question with our own heart. We have to be true to ourselves. Do we really and truly? Oh, we with our lips will say, yes, it's valuable. But where are our time and energy and resources going? Is it getting shoved down the list? Is it a book that's gathering dust? Or are the pages becoming worn out? I like what, you know, every now and then you get a nugget off of Facebook, don't you? I like what someone has said, and I've seen it several times, a Bible that's falling apart is usually being read by someone who's not falling apart. That's good. It's the Word of God that builds us up. It's the Word of God that strengthens us. It's the Word of God that is so important to us. It's better than riches. It's better than earthly pursuits. And in every respect, when we're treasuring up the Word of God and trying to follow it, we're in a better position to be a better person for our family, for our employer, for whatever you want to talk about. We'll be better to them. We'll be better for those around us. We'll have more joy and peace within ourselves. He says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. So the more we seek to know God's word and his ways, the more we will delight in them and the more eager we'll be to do all that's been stated in these 8 verses. It's just a pattern. It's an interesting thing about the Word of God, about preaching, about church attendance, about serving God. If you start leaving it off, you know, well, let me make the natural application. The natural application, if you start leaving off food, if you start skipping meals, you're going to get hungry, aren't you? Now, most of us don't have to skip too many or don't have to miss too many meals, so we may have lost track of that concept. But if you go without a meal very long, if you're in good health, you'll get hungry, don't you? But it's a strange thing about spiritual things. When you start leaving it off, for a little while you might get hungry, but after a while you lose your appetite. You lose your appetite for it. That's if you leave it off. But when you will discipline yourself to start reading and keep reading, that appetite will come back. You'll hunger for it. You'll want more of it. You want to know more. That's where we need to be. And the more we'll read it, it, the more we apply it, the more we seek to honor God with our lives, the more we try to cleanse our way, the more God will bless us, because that honors Him. And that will result in more glory to His name. And that will result in His love that He's given to us being shown to others. And it will continue to grow from there, won't it? And so this psalm began, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." And he's given us many different ways of that same thought throughout these 8 verses. May God help us to hide His word in our heart, that we might not sin against Him. May God help us that we would seek Him and seek to know His word, that our appetite for this precious word, which is so tremendously valuable, I don't have words to describe how valuable it is, except to say that it will save you from this untoward generation. We need it, but we oftentimes ignore it. May God help us to seek it out and ask Him for help and understanding, to apply it, to treasure it in our hearts, to remember it, and to grow in our ability to understand more and to apply more and to show more of His glory as we go about our lives. May God bless you is our prayer.